Good Thursday and welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Glad to have you along here today. We'll bring you feature agricultural news reports along with a look at regional and national agricultural news. And we'll start with regional agricultural news headlines right after this.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
At the site of a future solar farm in the Central Valley, Governor Gavin Newsom has announced the state's most ambitious permitting and project review reforms in half a century to build California's clean energy future while creating thousands of good jobs. The measures will facilitate and streamline project approval and completion to maximize California's share of federal infrastructure dollars and expedite the implementation of projects that meet the state's ambitious economic, climate, and social goals. Through unprecedented investments over the past two state budgets, as well as funding from the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and Inflation Reduction Act, California will invest up to $180 billion over the next decade in clean infrastructure, which will create 400,000 good jobs while helping to meet the state's climate goals. By streamlining permitting, cutting red tape, and allowing state agencies to use new types of contracts, these proposals will maximize taxpayer dollars and accelerate timelines of projects throughout the state while ensuring appropriate environmental review and community engagement. This announcement follows a recent report from the California Infrastructure Advisor's Office. The proposals could cut project timelines by more than 3 years, save businesses and state and local governments hundreds of millions of dollars, and reduce paperwork by hundreds of thousands of pages. The governor also signed an executive order to stand up a strike team to accelerate clean infrastructure projects across the state by implementing an all-of-government strategy for planning and development. The legislative package and executive order will also speed up construction, expedite court reviews of legal challenges that often tie up projects even after they have gone through an environmental review, streamline permitting, address cumbersome CEQA processes across the board, and maximize federal dollars. Governor Newsom says the only way to achieve California's world-leading climate goals is to build faster. The proposal is the most ambitious effort to cut red tape and streamline regulations in half a century. He says it's time to make the most out of taxpayer dollars and deliver results while creating hundreds of thousands of good jobs. Not since the Pat Brown era have they had this opportunity to invest in and rebuild the state to create the clean future that Californians deserve. The governor visited the future site of Proxima Solar Farm in Paterson to unveil the legislation. The facility, which broke ground in August of 2022 and is expected to be operational as early as December, could power 60,000 homes in a surrounding region and is capable of generating up to 210 megawatts of clean, renewable energy and 177 megawatts of battery energy storage. NextEra Energy expects the project to create 300,000 construction jobs and generate $35 million in local revenue. Milk production during April totaled 3,545 million pounds, down 1.9% from April of 2022 and down 2.7% from March of 2023. The number of milk cows on farms in California was 1,721,000 head, unchanged from April of 2022 and down 1,000 from March of 2023. Production per cow in California averaged 2,060 pounds, down 40 pounds from April of 2022 and down 55 pounds from March of 2023. Four Star Fruit, grower of organic and conventional table grapes, recently acquired 1,100 acres of table grape vineyards and two modern distribution facilities near Bakersfield from Grapeman Farms. The acquisition is an opportunity for Four Star Fruit to expand its operations and meet the growing demand for table grapes across the U.S. and abroad. Family-owned and operated by the Campbell family for three generations, Four Star Fruit is committed to sustainable farming and innovation, offering a wide range of grape varieties, including a trademark Pristine. The additional boxes of grapes from these vineyards will further bolster Four Star Fruit's supply of grapes to major retail chains in the United States, ensuring a consistent supply of high-quality grapes to consumers. The two cold storage facilities will provide additional logistical support with Four Star Fruit's new 52-week sales program. Jack Campbell, president of Four Star Fruit, expressed optimism about the acquisition and said they are committed to delivering high-quality and diverse grape varieties to their retail partners and consumers through their planned growth, which includes this exciting acquisition as one of the many steps in expanding their domestic and international fruit procurement. Founded in 1974, Grapemen Farms has been a grower and shipper representing some of the industry's most well-known varieties. The U.S. Northwest Cherry Growers believes there is potential for a crop of 19.9 million 20-pound boxes. This would constitute a 50% increase in crop size as compared to the 13.3 million box crop in 2022. This first estimate comes after reviewing degree day buildup, bloom timing, and potential fruit set on the cherry trees. The earliest harvest is expected to be on or near June 15th. If the weather remains warm, they can expect a crop that will peak on 10-row cherries. Representatives from Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Utah, and Montana have determined that the 2023 crop has great potential relative to crop volume and fruit size. As weather in the region has generally been in the 80 degree Fahrenheit range the past 2 weeks, it is clear the region has seen optimal weather for cell division, for size, and sugar development. This year, the first bloom in the earliest orchards began on April 8th. The full bloom is coming on April 15th. The normal growth cycle for sweet cherries is 60 to 65 days from pollination to harvest. Cherries in the early and mid-season districts appear to have set a nice crop. This was the expectation and the hope, and as of last Thursday, the crop is developing beautifully. Late season growers also expect to have a moderate to average crop in 2023. Their post 4th of July orchards have experienced flash bloom that has resulted in some pollination issues. They are seeing some orchards that are lighter than expected, as the crop load will run from 5 to 10 tons to the acre based on location. The good news for their late season offerings is that growers are expecting great size and sugars, according to growers. The early season volume on a Northwest tree should sufficiently help cherry-focused retailers transition from this year's California crop. Between cherries from California and late starting harvest in the Northwest, there should be an ample opportunity for retailers to source cherries for the 4th of July holiday. As drone usage continues to grow in popularity, there is a lot of good that can come from drone usage, but there's also suspicious activity. The California Intelligence Center would like to inform farmers and ranchers that they have a resource if they see or find suspicious drone activity on their property. Criminals are using drones to scout rural property for equipment to steal, and animal rights activists are using drones to gather video footage at dairies and ranches. If you see suspicious drone activity, it is advised that you detect and identify where the drone is, visually follow the drone, and call law enforcement to report it. If a drone is found on your property, do not touch it. Stand by at a distance near the aircraft and notify law enforcement so they can retrieve it. If you do locate an operator, request law enforcement response, document the operator's location, provide video and images to law enforcement, and if the operator does flee the scene, do not pursue them. Once again, to report suspicious drone incidents, be sure to contact your local law enforcement agency.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Even before the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act became law in 2014, the North San Joaquin Water Conservation District was working on projects to reverse groundwater overdraft. The district, comprising about 150,000 acres in northern San Joaquin County, serves mostly wine grape vineyards. At one time, the district delivered surface water from the McCollumney River to its customers, but a junior water right, the drought in the late 1980s and early 1990s, and more fish flows from the McCollumney reduced surface supplies to zero. In response, growers turned to pumping groundwater, eventually causing overdraft. Jessica Starletta, North San Joaquin General Counsel, said the district has a number of projects that involve groundwater recharge as well as groundwater banking. The goal is to reverse overdraft by replacing groundwater with surface supplies. What makes groundwater recharge so attractive is the large expanses of sandy soils in the district that have high water percolation rates. In fact, she said UC Davis has mapped soils throughout California based on groundwater recharge potential.
We have some of the best soils in the entire state for groundwater recharge. So there are different soil characterizations, and UC Davis has then taken those soil characterizations and other attributes and then classified ground as good for groundwater recharge. And they code it, and in our area on both sides of the McCollumy River, we have excellent ground for groundwater recharge, where other places in the state don't.
There actually are three basic types of groundwater recharge, and Starletta said the projects within North San Joaquin use one or more of these.
One is in-lieu recharge, which means that we deliver surface water to farmers who would otherwise use groundwater for irrigation. And when they use our surface water instead of pumping groundwater, we call that in-lieu groundwater recharge. The second type of recharge is direct recharge in a recharge basin, where we berm up an area of land, like a pond, and put water in it and allow it to infiltrate. We typically do that on very sandy soils where the water infiltrates quickly. The third type is a hybrid of that, where we flood farmed properties, so vineyards or orchards. We wait until the dormant season or the non-irrigation season and flood them with a few inches of water repeatedly through that season and allow the water to infiltrate, and we call that on-farm recharge.
The district has junior water rights to 20,000 acre-feet on the McCollumy River, meaning they can only divert in season during normal to high-flow years. During high precipitation years, like this one, there are additional winter flood flows in the river. Starletta said the district is hustling to take advantage of those and divert as much as possible for groundwater recharge. Otherwise, the water would flow out to the ocean.
Well, we have a junior water right, which makes it really tough to have consistent water available in the irrigation season, but it means we have plentiful water in the non-irrigation season, or the December through June time period. So because there is so much water this year, we are maximizing our diversion of water during this wet season and putting it out for groundwater recharge. If we don't divert the water and spread it around, it will simply flow out to the ocean. And what we're learning is that we do have a flashy river system. And so if we don't take it this year while it's here flowing by, it may be another 3 to 5 years before it shows up again. And so we have to be opportunistic. We have to take every opportunity when the water is passing by.
Tracy Lakes is one of the district's first recharge projects. A naturally occurring lake north of Lodi, it is usually dry or just a puddle during dry or normal rainfall years. Starletta said during winter high flow periods, the district is able to divert water from the McCollumy River into the 100-acre lake. Some of the Tracy Lake's water percolates through the soil to augment groundwater. Nearby vineyards also are able to use the surface water to irrigate their vineyards rather than pumping groundwater. At the same time, the lakes provide wildlife habitat.
So Tracy Lake is actually a natural lake that is the terminus of the Jahant Slough watershed. So in very wet years like this, it fills up with rainwater that comes down Jahant Slough. But in other years, maybe medium water years, it is actually either empty or almost empty for most of the year. And so we pump water out of the McCollumy River and put it in this natural lake bed where it wouldn't otherwise go, and then utilize the natural lake bed to accomplish groundwater recharge.
A number of the North San Joaquin projects involve partners. Starletta said most of those came about because of court battles where litigants found it better to work together than battle each other. The Dream Project, which involves groundwater banking in partnership with East Bay Mud, is one of those.
Almost all of our cooperative projects began with a fight, a water rights fight. So people were fighting over who was going to have which water rights and how long they were going to have them. And those fighting parties came together and said, you know what, it makes more sense if instead of fighting over our water rights, we find a way to do projects together where we both get something out of it and kind of advance water rights management for the entire region. And so it started in 2014, where we reached a settlement agreement and committed to work together on a couple of projects, including a groundwater banking project.
Another project, although on a much smaller scale, involves North San Joaquin and the Lockford Community Services District. Walnut grower Chris Locke will pump water from the McCollumney River into a small parcel of land adjacent to his orchards for groundwater recharge. Starletta said already the project is yielding positive results.
So we have actually had a landowner, Chris Locke, who owns a walnut orchard right on the border of North San Joaquin and the community of Lockford. And right next to that walnut orchard is about an acre and a half deep basin next to a road. We're not really sure how it came about, maybe when they built the road a long time ago. And he happens to have a really nice fish screened pump station on the river. So we're cooperating with Mr. Locke. We're allowing him to divert the district's water through his nice pump station. We've added temporary piping to get that water into this little acre and a half basin next to the community of Lockford, and we're conducting groundwater recharge. And so even though it's a small amount of water, we're probably only going to put maybe 100 acre feet in that little basin over the course of the year. We're already seeing significant increases in the groundwater levels of the Lockford Community Service District wells that are really close proximity to the basin. So we're seeing results.
The Sustainable Groundwater Management Act has been both a boon and a bane to the district. On one hand, Starletta said it's created more paperwork. On the other hand, growers within the district know if they don't get their overdraft under control, the state will step in, likely with higher groundwater fees, and that's something they don't want.
SGMA has challenges and it has benefits for the district. The challenge, of course, is getting through all of the paperwork that's required to show the state that you have a viable plan and that you're putting projects together to have a good water balance that's sustainable into the future. The benefit of it, though, is we do have a state backstop with SGMA, which means that if we at the local level don't accomplish our goals, the state can take over, they can impose pumping restrictions and very high fees. So that's a motivating factor for our landowners. They know that they need to contribute and participate and get the job done here, or they're going to have to deal with the state.
All of the projects the district is undertaking cost money. Starletta said they continually are looking for grants and other funding opportunities where they can leverage the growers' funds.
We have been very diligent. So we basically track state and federal funding opportunities every month of every year and have been doing that for about 8 years now. And we apply for everything. And so we only get about 30% of the ones we apply for, but we do get that 30%. And we try to match state grants with federal grants and with local money. So if we have a $1 million project, we might get state money for a third of it, federal money for a third of it, and then use local landowner money for the other third. So we just are very aggressive in going after the grants. And we have a huge need here, which helps us score well on the grant applications.
There's an old adage about making hay while the sun shines. The North San Joaquin Water Conservation District has its own twist on that. They're making large groundwater deposits while the river is flowing high. This is Vicki Boyd reporting for My Ag Life.
The American Farm Bureau Federation has announced the signing of two new memorandums of understanding with the ag equipment manufacturers Kubota Tractor Corporation and AGCO to continue to provide necessary diagnostic and other equipment to farmers and independent repair shops. The MOUs are said to cover 70% of all agricultural machinery sold in the U.S. At the start of the year, AFBF entered into similar agreements with John Deere and CNH Industrial Brands. The latest MOUs come about 1 month after the state of Colorado passed and signed into law a right to repair bill for ag equipment, the first of its kind in the U.S. According to an AFBF news release, the MOUs respect the intellectual property rights of manufacturers who are setting a framework for farmers and independent repair companies in all 50 U.S. states and Puerto Rico to access AGCO and Kubota manuals, tools, product guides, and information to self-diagnose and self-repair machines, as well as support from the manufacturers to directly purchase or lease diagnostic tools and order products and parts. Kubota agreed to allow farmers and independent repair shops to either purchase or subscribe to the company's KOBD ACE diagnostic tool. All sides can withdraw from the agreement anytime with a 15-day written notice. In the AGCO agreement, it contains language nearly identical to the Kubota MOU. The company agrees to sell, lease, or allow subscriptions to the AGCO Tech Connect diagnostic and or AGCO electronic diagnostic tool. The MOU also covers manuals, product service demonstrations, and customer training, onboard diagnostics via diagnostics port or wireless interface, as well as other publications with information on service, parts, operation, and safety. USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jackanowski with USDA's new forecast for 2024 dairy product prices.
Cheese prices down just slightly, almost rounding to zero. But butter prices expected to be down about 9 cents per pound. Non-fat dry milk prices down about 7 cents per pound. And the class prices, which again are based off of the product prices, those are also expected to be down year over year. Class 3 price we're forecasting right now at $17.50 per hundredweight. Class 4 price, $17.35 per hundredweight. So those each are down 25 cents and 95 cents per hundredweight, respectively. And the all milk price is forecast to fall to just under $20 per hundredweight, $19.90 per hundredweight. That would be down 60 cents.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jackanowski. Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, and several state representatives have introduced bipartisan legislation to incentivize farmers to plant cover crops to help boost environmental conservation. The Conservation Opportunity and Voluntary Environment Resilience Program Act would provide farmers who plant cover crops a crop insurance discount of $5 an acre. It will also lower the long-term cost of crop insurance by making the pandemic cover crop program permanent, authorizing additional funding for technical assistance in assessing the Good Steward cover crop program, and creating a soil health pilot program. Farmers are the original conservationists, according to Brown. By utilizing cover crops, they can increase yield, decrease pesticide use, and reduce runoff into waterways, which is good for everyone, he says. Planting cover crops slows erosion, promotes soil health, improves water availability, suppresses weeds, attracts pollinators, helps to control pests and diseases, and increases biodiversity. Cover crops increase yields and reduce crop insurance losses caused by prevented planting as well. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack plans to roll out $3.7 billion in emergency relief program and emergency livestock relief program assistance to crop and livestock producers. The funds will help producers who sustain losses due to a qualifying natural disaster event during calendar year 2022. USDA is sharing the information early to allow producers time to gather documents in advance of delivery. U.S. ag producers nationwide endure crippling natural disaster events in 2022, including a mega drought, hurricane flooding, and wildfires, according to Vilsack. While they have streamlined their delivery and natural disaster assistance, funding is limited and significantly less than the estimated losses. He also says they're designing payment factors to help as many producers as possible to offset the significant financial impacts resulting from these ongoing and widespread natural disasters. Producers who have participated in FSA programs likely have the required forms on file. For more information, contact your local USDA Service Center. The Dairy Checkoff is bringing a new approach to building trust with young Americans by helping high school curriculum writers across the country incorporate accurate science behind dairy farming. The On the Farm STEM experience is co-funded by the National Dairy Council and Midwest Dairy and is bringing leading science educators and curriculum directors to dairy farms to discover ideas that can fit into high school curriculum. The STEM program stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Ultimately, the program, created in partnership with the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture, will offer a science-based counterbalance to misunderstanding about how dairy is responsibly produced by farmers and its contributions to health and wellness. The Checkoff is building relationships with key education organizations such as the National Science Teaching Association and respected curriculum reviewers to bring awareness to the STEM content.
Introducing My Ag Life Jobs, the pathway to career opportunities in California agriculture. Whether you're currently in pursuit of employment or searching for talent as an employer, our network serves as the resource to connections in the agricultural industry. Plant roots in your career and embark today by exploring jobs.myaglife.com. That's jobs.myaglife.com.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.